The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
DrinkAid is the best tasting and most effective way to help prevent hangovers. It's the fastest growing hangover prevention beverage in the U.S. and helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking, or even after a workout, to feel great the next day. Key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It's not only sugar-free, but it's gluten-free, low-calorie, and it tastes great. Skeptical? Check out all the incredible reviews on Amazon, which I have, and they are incredible. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, and all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas. And, of course, on Amazon.com and DrinkAid.com. That's DrinkAide.com. Use the promo code HOCKEY, HOCKEY, to get 25% off your first order of DrinkAid.com.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and I am on the line by Skype with Dr. Jason Berkley. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm good. I always wanted to be, again, via satellite. That's always been my dream.
You're not via satellite yet, but we, you know, a
do
boy can
do
dream.
That even?
I think so. I think for you, we're going to go via satellite to the home of Dr. Jason Berkley.
Yeah.
And everybody, please cover your eyes, because you're not going to want to see
exactly.
This. It's not pretty. No,
I have
think
my tape over my camera. No one's seen me at all.
Good call.
All he's wearing is tube socks.
Oh, no. I don't even.
No.
Sean,
no
please.
Tube socks. No.
Come on. There are children listening. Seriously. God.
No tube socks here.
Well, so Jason, I just got back from Vegas, and I got to tell you, that town is Golden Knights-centric in a way that I can't even get over how much, like, I was wearing my Dr. Hockey hat, and one guy came up and inspected it and said, I just wanted to make sure that you're one of us. And I was,
wow.
I was like, dude, I'm in here for a digital marketing conference. I'm not here to, like, hurt your team or help your team or whatever. But anyway, they're very much into the Golden Knights, very pumped for the season. And I think they should be. So today, you know, we are going to get the opportunity to talk to Jan Stastny again, which I'm very excited about, because now he has a job with the Vegas Golden Knights. He is a regional scout for the team. So we're going to hear all about that. It's very cool that he's willing to come on again and chat with us about it, especially after his brother got traded to the Golden Knights over the summer. I mean, what do you think? What's this is going to be an unbelievable season.
It is, but actually I've been reading about St. Louis, just to back up a little bit. I know we had talked before about the fact that we thought they hadn't done as much, and actually they've actually been pretty active in the signings. I mean, they have Mason signed Tyler Bozak. I mean,
ooh,
no slouch.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Good.
You know, that's a great pickup for them, I think, at the center. David Perron is back with them as well. So yeah, you have some players that are really going to fill some of those holes. And again, I just don't know what the logic was with getting, you know, forcing themselves to trade Stastny at the time when they were competing for the playoffs. I don't know, but they've made some big changes.
Right.
Patrick Maroon. I mean, they've got some really good, solid players. But why trade away Paul Stastny at the time when you're trying to get momentum? I don't understand the whole logic of that. I really want to know more about that. That's really killing me.
Well, I was trying to get the assistant GM from the Blues to come on, and it turns out the one of the guys I know who shot photos for my daughter, happened to know a guy that whose dad is the assistant GM. So anyway, I'm not going to go through it, but he wasn't able to do it because, you know, basically it's like double secret probation. You can't do a podcast like this without like approval from the owner.
Oh, of course not. That's not. But I guess my feeling is that with the player signings they've made, and they've obviously improved their team, when you had a guy of Stastny's caliber, you want to keep him. I just don't understand the logic behind it. I don't know.
Just for the listeners, let's recap what happened. It was the trade deadline last season when Paul Stastny, Jan's younger brother, was traded from the St. Louis Blues to the Winnipeg Jets.
Yep.
For essentially nothing.
Yeah, I don't remember them getting any type of blockbuster.
I don't know what they got. Yeah, I don't know what they got. I can't remember the details on that part. But then the Blues, who were looking at a playoff berth, did not get into the playoffs. Correct? They missed.
Yes.
And then the Winnipeg Jets made a run into the finals for the Western Conference, where they lost to the Vegas Golden Knights. But they had a significant run, which I can really tell you that Paul Stastny made the difference for that for the Jets as they went forward.
It was Eric Foley, who was a prospect, went to St. Louis with a conditional 2018 first-round pick and a conditional 2020 fourth-round pick.
Well, I mean, a first-round pick is worth something, but you know, it's not
conditional.
It's not Paul Stastny.
I don't know what conditional means. I mean, I'd have to look more into that, but it's a conditional first-round pick.
Conditional typically means like the pick that they're getting from that team, as long as it's like a top 15 pick and not a bottom 15.
Well, right.
Pick.
No,
that's typically what
I mean. The conditions were. I'm just saying that it wasn't just their pick. It was and it was in the previous draft we just had, actually. So. Well, but anyway, yeah. You know, I don't know. It's just one of those situations where if you're going to go for a rebuild, you go for a rebuild. If you're not, you don't trade away one of your best players. I just don't understand that.
Well, the thing that you can see with the Jets is that they benefited tremendously from Stastny, and
yes,
you know, they and then for some reason, I'm sure it's a salary issue, they had to trade him again. And so now Paul is over on the Vegas Golden Knights.
On
and again,
to home in Vegas.
Yeah. And, you know, I can tell you that Vegas, getting Max Pacioretty and Paul Stastny. Yes, James Neal did depart the team. Obviously, I think it had to be salary issues because, you know, he's amazing. And, you know, they certainly want to keep him. He played well for the Vegas Golden Knights. But he's now with the Flames. I saw some footage of the Flames playing in China. Some game in that amazing Mercedes arena that they have in Shanghai. And the Flames look good. They've got the juice this year too. Western Conference is going to be super brutal.
It is.
I mean,
it is going to be brutal. That's a good way of describing it.
It's going to be brutal. There's so many good teams. The Sharks, you know, getting Carlson. I don't know that the Ducks are going to be brutal. I'm going to go tomorrow night and see, but I don't know. It all depends on how Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf decide this team is going to go. If they don't step up as, you know, the leadership of this team, along with, you know, it's going to be Cam Fowler. I don't know. Maybe Kessler. It's hard to know because like the captains were, you know, Getzlaf, Perry, and Kessler. And then when Kessler was out, it was Cam Fowler. So Fowler, Perry, and Getzlaf lead the charge. And as long as if Perry and Getzlaf show up and they come back from the summer strong, then it could be a totally different team because they've got some really great young firepower. But if they phone it in, then this team is going to go down in flames.
Wait, did you just say the Wings are 4-0 in the preseason? Oh, okay. I thought you said that. Never mind. Go ahead.
I don't recall saying that. Did I say
that? I thought that's what I heard. I wanted to make sure.
Dude, that's like, so what? I mean, 4-0 in the preseason. I mean, that's like, you know, how could that even matter? You know, you've got like, you know, teenage
kids.
I'm just saying too. Like, I mean, give me a break. They're demoing the guys that they're going to demo in the before the season starts.
Just letting you know, it's 4-0.
All right, good for you, man. Congratulations. You know, you got to go. You got to.
We win the preseason cup. Okay?
Grab onto the small things. That's all I can tell you. I mean, I'm hoping your team does great this year. I really am. I'm all for it. In fact, I'm going to get a Red Wings jersey just because I want one. I'm going to get one that has.
That will not happen. I know you will not be doing that.
No, I am. I'm going to get one that has. I'm going to get one that has Berkeley on the back.
Oh God, you don't want to do that.
Totally do.
Although I was at a Wings game once a while ago, and I saw a guy. Now, the funniest thing I find when guys get jerseys is, number one, if a guy gets a jersey and it's fitting him like a T-shirt, or it's like a fitted shirt, it's too small for them. Okay, you want to get a bigger jersey.
Definitely. You don't want it to look like that.
Make sure you spell the player's name correctly.
Well, I mean, that's not their – it's got to be the guys in the team shop to make that happen.
No. It's the guy had a Sid Abel jersey, and he spelled it A-B-L-E.
Oh, no.
Now,
are you
kidding? It's just embarrassing. How can you wear that in public?
Well, you know, obviously he was able to wear it.
What was that?
I said obviously he was able to wear it.
Yeah, and he should not have been able to wear it because it should have been stopped at the front, at the entrance.
Definitely.
And told to leave because that was embarrassing. Well, and I'm actually friends with – actually I grew up with, went to school with Sid Abel's grandson, Jeff, who's an outstanding guy. And I haven't seen him in a long time, but if you're listening, Jeff, what's up? But, you know, he's a legend in the Red Wings lore, and you can't misspell that guy's name. It's ridiculous.
Listen, I mean, that's like, spelling Gordie Howe, H-A-U-G-H.
Well, I haven't seen that
maybe,
yet.
Maybe it was his name, and that's how he spells it, A-B-L-E. Yeah, maybe?
But the worst thing, the worst travesty on any jersey
awful.
I've seen has been in Tampa, where people literally have had Yzerman 19 Tampa Bay Lightning jerseys.
Oh.
I mean, it's just insult across the board.
That's just a hockey foul right there.
Yeah, beyond embarrassing.
Dude, that's not cool. I'm sorry, man. You have to police that. You got to be all over that, and you got to get in there, and you got to say, "Listen, this is unacceptable," and the Jersey police have to like do something about it.
Well, me screaming at the television doesn't do anything.
No,
I wish it would.
It's ineffective. That's not going to help. But you know what? It probably makes you feel better. So, listen, I think we got to get Jan Stastny on. So let's redirect to a Skype in Jan Stastny.
Jan Stastny, birthtown Quebec City, Canada, hometown St. Louis, Missouri, forward.
How you guys doing today?
What's happening?
I've been sitting waiting for this phone call. You guys are calling me 2-3 minutes behind schedule.
Sorry.
You're definitely having some fun without me.
Oh, sorry, man. How you doing?
Based on my Instagram post, it's not that much fun.
Dude, how are you doing, Jan?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. Just enjoying life, as they say, but been busy. I moved on from playing and just kind of looking forward to the next little phase in life, but very busy.
Yeah, you got a new job, huh?
I did. I ended up retiring in July just because a good opportunity came up, and I became a scout with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Nice.
And I'm helping them out on the management side of hockey now.
Well, congratulations. That sounds like it's the right time and the right place and the right team. So that's a great setup.
Now, quick question, though. Reggie Dunlop was a player coach. Is there any chance you could be a player scout?
My body says no.
Oh, yeah. No, that's something to listen to.
That's the one thing I joke around with my buddies. I'm like, man, you know what? The best part about being retired is my body is starting to feel good again.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's got to be healing up.
Plus.
It does make a difference. You don't have 230-pound gorillas coming at you and knocking you over. I mean, it's it's the punishment you guys take on the ice is just second to none with any sport that's out there. And I don't know how some of the players have lasted as long as they have without major catastrophic injuries. It really is astounding to me as a physician to see that.
Well, it's you're both doctors. The body does some pretty amazing stuff. And you know, when you train your body, when it becomes used to certain things, it, you know, it adapts. So it's one of those guys, like, I slightly separated my shoulder this past season. And when I was getting checked out by the doctor, he looked at my other shoulder. He goes, you sure it's not this shoulder that hurts? You sure it's this one? Like, no, this one's just fine. He goes, man, that one looks terrible.
I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, it still works. Like, I don't have any issues with it. It looks wow. bad, but I have all mobility. I've had all range and strength in my left shoulder, but he's looking at it like, he goes, you sure it's the right shoulder you're having me check out?
Dude, that is a very bad sign for the doctor looking at the good one saying, are you sure it's not broken?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the good news, though, is you will heal up. And I can tell you it will change your longevity and your quality of your life, having better mobility and not being bruised and beat up all the time. It's a big deal.
Well, that's what I've noticed. I've noticed, you know, the last 7-8 years, I've had a lot of hip and especially knee issues and shoulders, like shoulder, I guess, tightness and just lack of flexibility and range of motion. But just in my knees alone, my hips are still a little tight, but you know, it's my knees actually feel a lot better than they have in a long time.
Well, you're not going to get hurt scouting, which is good news. And it's probably going to be very interesting for you to be coming at it from a more managerial and administrative side of the business and the sport of hockey.
Well, that's what I'm, you know, it's, I've been watching a handful of games already. I've probably got about 12, 14 games under my belt already. And it's definitely a whole different perspective when you're watching it from upstairs and you're paying attention to trying to pay attention to anywhere between 10 and 30, 40 players versus watching it from, you know, ice level or on the bench. And you're just kind of, you know, you're trying to pay attention to the whole game with details. Whereas a player, you're just paying attention to certain details just because you rely so much on instincts and on experience.
Well, did anybody kind of like mentor you into this position as of yet? Has anybody said like, listen, this is how I did it when I was looking for these things? Is there anybody who said when you do start scouting, this is how I would do it?
You know, when this opportunity came up, I ended up talking to a few people that do it, and I didn't want to go into this blind, not knowing what it entailed, but I chatted with a couple of friends that as soon as they retired, got into scouting and just getting tidbits, you know, how things work and how they go about their process. My old agent used to be a scout before he became an agent. So I chatted with him a little bit. And even the two guys that are helping me in Vegas, Mike Levine and Will Nickel, they've been nothing but great with me. So it's one of those things I tell everybody, like, the more information, the better. And after that, you know, I can assess and I can take in what I want to take in and what I don't want to take in. If somebody gives me bad information or bad comments, you know, that's on me to decide if I like it or not. Not bad, but if someone gives me their perspective on things and how they go about their business, right? The more information you have, the better decisions you can make.
Sure. When you're watching these games, and you said there's a bunch of players on there and you're trying to absorb it all, is there something that stands out so far you've been doing this, it stands out to you that's different than when you were a player in particular? For example, if you're watching a power play unit and you're watching the way they pass it, does it stand out differently than when you would watch game film in the past? Or is there something that's unique now that you're looking for specifically?
You know what I found is I get pissed off at times. I get pissed off at players because they don't make the right play, or they do make the right play, but they make it half a second or a second too late. I'm like, move the puck.
Right.
Find this guy, you know, like, just I find myself almost I find myself kind of talking to myself as I'm watching these games.
Well, that makes three of us, I'm sure, because I definitely do the same thing. I go nuts. I'm like, what? What are you holding that puck? Come on, that guy's open, and you see things. I think the more you watch hockey, and you know, it's really interesting. When I was at the Igloo during my residency, my brother and I bought tickets in the rafters because they were the cheapest ones, and we were like sitting up basically where the guys who where Mike Lang calls the games from. And I'll tell you what, you really get a sense of what going on in the game when you watch from that height. And
well, that's what I've noticed too. Like I've watched the last handful of games. You know, I watched from glass level. I've watched from middle of the stands, and most of them I've been from up top. And it's such a different when you have a bird's eye of the ice rink. It makes the game, I guess, easy if you understand it, right? When you watch it from ice level, you're really from bird's eye, the game is slow. From ice level, it's fast. So you get two completely different perspectives of the game. And, you know, the more you know, the more you kind of understand what to look for and what you appreciate what's out there. But it's, especially like you said, when you first started out going to games, you had a bird's eye view. So you see plays develop. You see players that are open. And then you go and watch games from the glass level, and you don't see that same scenario, right? You just when you're looking at the puck carrier, when you're at ice level, it's tough to see the peripheral, to see what's around there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My favorite view is actually sitting behind the goal, because you get to see a lot of the power plays develop and actually the actual plays when they're coming down the ice, almost like the video game perspective. And watching what's happening and how the guys are moving. And I think that's something that I don't appreciate as much when I'm sitting center ice or 10 rows back off the ice. You get a totally different perspective of the game and how it's moving at that point.
I agree with you too. That's in a stadium, my favorite seat is behind one of the nets and one of the last rows in the lower bowl, just because you can see like behind the net or anywhere behind the net in the last row of the lower bowl, just because you have that mix of you can see everything and you also get a little bit of an understanding of how fast the game is.
Yeah, no, it's so fun to go to the live games. I mean, I don't know how people, become hockey fans without seeing a game. If you get in there, just the energy is just, I can't even wait. I'm so excited for the season to start. It's like crazy.
So, Jan, I got to know, and I've been asking Jay, I've been dying to ask you this question. So when Pacioretty got signed, what was your brother's first reaction when you talked to him about it? I mean, he must have been fired up.
When I talked to him about it, he didn't know about it. So
oh, no, are you kidding?
I broke the news to him.
That's great.
He was when news broke, he was in Denver and he was at a concert in Denver.
Oh,
and
man.
I text him, I go, how much are you smiling right now? And he's like, oh, what are you talking about? He's like, did you hear the news? You got a new line mate.
Yep.
And he's like, what are you talking about? So I called him and he ignored my call. And then he sent me a text. He's like, oh, I'm at a concert right now. I can't talk. I go, you guys just got 67.
Oh,
and,
man.
And he goes, what? You're kidding. but you know when you text with people you know very well, you can kind of get their emotions through text messages.
Sure.
And totally. I could tell he was elated. He was kind of giddy. And him and Pacioretty were line mates at the Olympics.
Right, right.
In Sochi, yeah.
Wow.
And I know they're pretty good friends, and he was overly excited. So
that's awesome. The thing is that we're going to get to see not just him on a line with Pacioretty, but also Pacioretty over on the power play unit. I think the combination of those two is a pretty good 1-2 punch, especially with Neil departing. I mean, they more than made up for that, I think.
I think that was a huge pickup for Vegas. It kind of solidifies, and when I was telling this to people a lot, is Vegas has like four, and we talked about this last year, or last in the playoffs last year, is Vegas has four like second line, third line lines. You know, they got four lines that come at you.
Yep.
And with the way that Riley Smith and that Marchessault developed, and Carlson, they became first line players. And now I see them with adding Pacioretty, I see them as having two first lines and then two kind of second, third lines. So they got a pretty lethal lineup.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And especially the power play units have a 1-2 punch like that with those guys on that and those power plays like that. And it's going to be tough for teams to kill those penalties. I mean, because you expect usually on a second power play, all right, you're getting, the second or third line guys, whatever else. But this is not – honestly, I'll go so far as to say that you have on Paul's second line or even on a second power play unit, that's a number one power play unit or your number one line almost any other team.
On some teams, exactly. Yeah. So it's like I said, they're lethal. They have a lot of depth, and it's a matter of showing up, right? It's a matter of consistency and doing it. If those guys come close to doing what they did last year in terms of personal success, personal accomplishments, they're gonna have a great year.
Well, and the defense is not too shabby on the for the Golden Knights. I mean, I have to tell you, I've already picked them as my favorite for the Stanley Cup this year. So, I think we may see the Sharks or Winnipeg against the Golden Knights in the Western Conference Finals. But if you ask me right now who it's going to be based on the summer activity and what happened last year. Despite the Nate Schmidt suspension, I'm still picking Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, the way I look at the Nate Schmidt suspension is he gets to rest for the first quarter of the season where he comes in. He's going to be a little rusty for the first little bit. And then, when guys start getting tired towards the end of the year, I know it's only one guy, but he's going to be out there, one, with excess amount of energy in his tank, and two, he's going to be looking to prove people wrong, right?
Absolutely.
Prove those doubters, the ones that don't believe whatever it was, a tainted sample or whatnot. He's got to prove that he can still play, So he's gonna play with a chip on his shoulder, and they just signed Shea Theodore. I think it was So, they got everybody back.
Yeah, Shea Theodore had a great year last year, and I bet this year is going to be even better. He's on his upswing of defenseman maturation, as I say, and they hit it.
He just started his upswing.
Oh yeah, definitely. And he's a solid player, and he had a great year last year.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are good things for the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm sure that they've already tasked you with finding the next diamond in the rough. Is that true?
Let's see. Let's hope so. I have to come through. Now you're putting pressure on me.
You bet, man. That's
good
the
job,
deal.
Jay.
Well, it's a new. They don't just give that job to anybody. That's a very very significant. The development of these teams and these players, I think, is just such a fascinating process. And then how they get signed, we had Emerson Eatem in about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And, he's got a tryout with the Kings. It's going well. He scored 4 goals. But for him to get signed, I was kind of looking at the process. It's onerous, is it not, Jan?
Yeah, well, it is. It's, it's... Like they say, it's a dog eat dog world. It's one of those things. Like a lot of things have to fall into place. Like even if you end up leading the league, somebody did that a couple years ago. They led the league in scoring in the preseason on a PTO on a tryout, and the team still released them. Then he ended up signing somewhere else.
Hmm.
And man. For some reason, I want to say it was what was his name? Not Gianta. Little guy played Gomez. I want to say it was Gomez.
Hmm.
I want to say but I might be wrong, but it was somebody did that. I just remember this is probably 7-8 years ago, but it's, you know, it's tough because especially nowadays with the salary cap, even though it's going higher and higher, you know, teams want at least to give their players that they drafted, that they went out and signed, you know, first dibs.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's not easy to get signed, especially when everybody is signed, you know, who's basically in these tryouts. Then how's a guy who's doesn't have a contract, who's trying out, don't they have to, like, they're going to have to put somebody on waivers? There's a lot of things that have to happen to make a spot for Emerson to make the team. He's having a great run, and he's an amazing player. He was a first-round draft pick in 2010, but he's been out for like 2 years. So, I mean,
The thing with teams, too, is the thing with the NHL is you're only allowed 50 NHL contracts, right? So you have your 25-man roster that has their about, say, 18 of them have NHL one-way deals. You know, about 6-7 of them have two-way deals, AHL, NHL, and then a couple, and then you have your AHL players that have two-way deals, and then you have your draft picks that you've signed that you send back to juniors. So it's, you know, it's a numbers game as well.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope he makes the team. He's just been an amazing player, and he had a very tough problem with his knee, but sounds like he's having a great, you know, preseason.
I've been keeping an eye on him. He's been doing well. I'm really proud of him. I hope he sticks with the club. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome to see him make the Kings.
But he's an LA kid too, isn't he?
Yeah.
I know he's from Southern Cali. Because when he was first coming up with Anaheim, I was following him because he's a speedster.
You bet. And in fact, I had a chance to talk with Sean Pronger yesterday, and I said, hey, you know, tell me about this process, you know, because, you know, it's just so curious to us as, you know, lay people, how does somebody who's coming back like Emerson get onto the team? And Sean was kind of telling me, oh, you know, this has to happen. You know, I said, well, he's got, you know, a bunch of goals in the preseason. He goes, you know, goals are good. So he's going to be scoring. They're going to look at him very differently because that's what it's all about, Jay. They need goals.
Goals are great, but, you know, like I was saying, at the same time, like all the pieces have to fit for that team. Like, where is he going to fall? Is he going to kick somebody out of the lineup that's already signed? You know,
right.
Or if they're really high on certain prospects. But at the same time, as long as he's having a good camp, you know, other teams take notice of that too, right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah, he may fill a spot for some other team. You never know. But I think it's such an incredible process, and how, you know, there's so many great players. You know, so many great players out there that are really doing well. But who fits the bill at the right time with the right? You know, so many stars have to align for this to really happen.
But Jan, do you actually scout other teams when they're having PTOs in the event that somebody gets put on waivers? I mean, is that part of what you do too, or is it mostly just for guys coming up out of the juniors?
I'm doing guys coming out of college.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to do like college free agents, guys that were passed up in the draft that are kind of high prospect players. So it's right now I'm watching every kind of game since college hockey hasn't started yet.
Right.
But I'll be going after those college free agents that weren't drafted after their 18-19 year.
Well, that's
which there's a lot of them, right? Every year every year there's four or five highly touted players that come out, and every team wants them. And
sure.
So it's a matter of, you know, convincing them to sign with your squad.
Do you ever go to the tournaments, like Great Lakes Invitational and all these other tournaments that go on?
I will.
Nice.
Once I get my schedule set up, because those are easy places to go to. You go there and you end up watching what four games in 2 days, or
right, right.
You know, it's so you got to look at more than a few players that you're looking for. You look at everybody.
Dano Chara crosses his own blue line. Andrew Alberts flicks the puck into the Florida zone. Stastny coming hard after Brian Allen, and Allen took the number. Exchanges pleasantries. They have three shots at each other. Stastny makes the offer, and there go the gloves. John Stastny's going to get into it with a much larger man in Brian Allen. Now Chara comes over. He's got to be careful about a third man in penalty here. He's trying to defend Stastny, who is listed at 5'11", 175, against Brian Allen, who's 6'4", 220.
Well, I like this by Zdeno Chara, Jack, because Chara's challenged a number of Panthers tonight. Nobody wants anything to do with him. And Brian Allen, who's a pretty big guy, what's he, about 6'4 or so, maybe 2 1/4? He's going to lay the heavy body, or try to lay the heavy body on Stastny. Stastny's ready for him. Stastny's not going to back down, so I like that from Stastny. You don't take losing 7-2 sitting down. Stastny gets in it with Allen, and then now all of a sudden Allen wants to drop the gloves, so Chara immediately gets in there. I like that reaction. That's what your leader should do, because it was a bit of a mismatch between Allen and Stastny, even though Stastny was willing.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with 2 tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
Hey, y'all. Let's take a break from the show so we can tell you about our sponsor, Indochino. Indochino is it's Indochino.com. This is a company that makes custom menswear. And the way that they do it is you can go to their website or you can go to one of their showrooms. But for all intents and purposes, you can do everything on their website. They will make you a custom suit for $359 with the promo code Dr. Hockey, which you use at checkout. If you would like to get a suit that is fitted to you, it's built for you, you'll go to the website, you'll put your measurements in, you'll need a tape measure, I would assume. And you would then send those measurements into Indochino, and they will, and you pick your finishes, you pick the color, whatever you want. And normally these suits are about $750, which is still incredible. But with this promo code, you can get a $359 custom premium suit sent to your house, your apartment, wherever you live. If you have a shanty, a tent, I don't care. Wherever you want, it will be sent to you and you will look good, because it will be custom fit. It's not an off-the-rack suit, so it doesn't have to be fitted to you. It's made for you. Indochino.com. You can also go to their showrooms. There is one in Los Angeles. They're all around the country. I highly recommend you check out this company and see what it is that they can do for you so that you can look awesome in a suit that actually fits you. So go to Indochino.com. You're going to get a 50% discount at your checkout by using the promo code Dr. Hockey, and you will get a custom suit sent to you for $359. I don't know where else you can get a suit for that. The shipping is free. This is an incredible deal. It's for the listeners to the Dr. Hockey podcast, because the promo code is Dr. Hockey, DRHOCKEY, Indochino.com. Do it now. You know, the college... You know, it's the way that players get to the NHL, just for our listeners, I mean, the juniors, the Canadian juniors, and then the college pathway are two very different ways to wind up playing the NHL. And I think, you know, the way that you look at those players, it's totally different.
Well, there's two different schools of thoughts there, right? Juniors is you're playing a lot of hockey. You're playing, what, 50, 60, 70 games a year plus playoffs. College, you're playing about, say, which is more, it's more pro style.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where in college, you're playing 40 and then, you know, college playoffs are, they're not, you're playing best of three or best of one. You're not playing a lot of playoff games, but you, as you know, as a anywhere from the age of 18 to 23, 24, how old you are when you're a senior and whatnot, is you get to train like a pro during the season versus juniors are training. If they live during the season, it's more like to maintain, right? You can't really build strength. Where in college, since your games are spaced out, you get to build that strength. And that's one of the things that you see with a lot of junior players that come into the NHL, or when they come to training camp after they've been drafted, is they're really good players. They just can't compete strength-wise just because they're young and they're still developing and they don't have the lower body strength or upper body. You don't really need upper body strength, but they don't have the lower body strength that a college kid does or a pro guy does, because you can't train for strength year round, unlike a college player where a junior player just trains for strength in the weight room in the off season.
Less injuries too in the college.
Yeah, just because there's less games. You're lifting, but there's also less games, so it's not as strenuous on the body.
Yeah, and it's the training schedule that the NHLers keep is completely insane. It is so rigorous now. And we had Marty McSorley on. I don't know if you listened to that episode, but he said that he was encouraged to not lift weights by the coaching staff and training staff. And you know, he and his buddies all ignored it and, you know, kind of went out in the summer and, you know, went out to the barn and, you know, benched hard and got big and felt that was important at that time. And today, I think there isn't a single guy in the NHL that doesn't hit the weight room and the cardio very hard, not only in the off season, but during the season to keep things moving.
Yeah. And well, like, you know, every year there's new science, there's new information behind everything. So I feel like every 4, 5, 6 years, the school of thought of training changes. But I'll tell you one thing I do not miss is the training now that I'm done.
Oh, I bet.
I'm still working out. I'm still staying in shape. But, man, I haven't touched a weight in a long time, which is why I feel so good.
I'm sure of that. Well, what about like back in the day when your dad was playing? What did he? What was their regimen? I mean, they didn't have all this technology and sports physiology around them.
Well, when my brother and I both started training, our strength coach, our training coach, was my dad, and it was. He kept all his paperwork, all his workouts that he wrote down from when he played, and he would come out with us to the gym and to the track for the first, not all the time, but here and there. But he was a huge proponent of running, and he was a big runner. But my dad's a big guy of balance, and but you know the weights that we did were your typical. I don't want, like, lack of better words, meathead stuff, right? You're bench pressing, you're squatting, your lunges, like your very typical hockey stuff where you're just building, you're doing lunges, you're doing step ups, shoulder exercises, bench pull ups, back stuff. And I feel like, and then my last probably 5 to 10 years, it was more kind of like multiple planes, like bi and tri-plane exercises where you're lunging with a shoulder press, or, you know, you're pulling up with doing a leg crunch type of thing, where you're doing two, three exercises in one, or you're doing circuits. So it's the training has definitely, since I started to when I finished, has completely changed.
Yeah. Just for the record, I put up 225 on the bench. Just want to make sure everyone knows that.
Thank you, Jason. That's really important. And we're glad that that we have that stat.
Not bad for a 49-year-old neurologist.
Just just
just no. At least twice.
Is that your max?
Well, I don't know about max. That's a hard question to answer.
Who's Max? Is that your boyfriend?
So when you say 225, you have a spotter there.
The spotter's doing most of the work, actually, but that's what I mean.
But it looks good when people are watching you lift weights.
Well, I scream a lot and I bang the weights. It makes me look a lot tougher. That's
well, you know,
Grant, as soon as you get the weights on the rack, you stand up and you slap scream. Yourself on the chest.
Yes.
Go, I've seen this.
Arnold Schwarzenegger has nothing on me.
Yeah. Well, also, you got to be careful because you don't want the leg warmers to get in the way of the weights, too. It's the whole thing I got going on.
Jan, you don't want to see this. It's not pretty. I mean, no. Jason's like 6'7", and when he gets into it, it's very scary. It's not, again, not good for children to see. That's all I'm saying. Well, we're excited to see get the season started. And I think, you know, with you being in the driver's seat with the Golden Knights, are you going to make it out to some games?
I hope so. I hope I'll see a few games if I get a chance. I know on most weekends I'll be out in college campuses watching those games, but during the week if I can catch a game here or there, I will.
How far
I want to give you a tip on a guy, by the way, just for not for nothing, I'm gonna throw it out there. His name is Vincent DeMay. I'm friends with his dad, Jurgen, who's a trainer. He plays at Shattuck St. Mary's, and he's really lighten things up out there. So just wanted to throw it out there for you. Vincent DeMay.
Oh, there's a plug.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. I've known the kid since he's about 8 years old. Got his, my first autograph. I was the first autograph he ever gave, but I've been following him on a lot of the reports, and he's really, really lighting things up. I mean, I think he's a right winger. So.
Well, now Shattuck St. Mary, isn't that like the hockey factory?
It's where Sydney came out, right?
Yeah. It's a hockey factory out of Minnesota.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun job for you to be involved that way. And, you know, I'm quite honestly very jealous. So if I could scout on the weekends and do plastic surgery during the week, that'd be pretty cool. But
that's what I got going. I got scouting on the weekends and being a dad during the week. So like I said, it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And
that's perfect.
I get the best of both worlds.
How many kids do you have again?
Three.
Any more planned, or you know, just gonna wait and see what you get?
I got another one coming.
No way, do you?
Wow! Congrats!
Congratulations, man! That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a lot of Chili's baby back ribs, by the way.
Listen, I can tell you, we have Chris and I have four kids, and it is a zoo, but it's awesome. We love having four; it's really fun. You will definitely. You're outgunned at this point. You're going to need like support crew like you can't believe. And I'd say invest in a driver. It's really important to get them to all their stuff. it's like amazing. They're like little CEOs running around the, you know, all of Orange County and LA County doing all these things. But it's a blast. We love it.
We have a lot of fun with it. We lose our minds more often than we'd like.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's part of being a parent, regardless of if you have four or one. It's fun. They're so much fun.
Are they going to play hockey?
Well, right now I have two girls and a boy, and then this next one coming is a question mark. But I don't know. We will see. I wouldn't mind them being golfers because that's what I enjoy doing right now. So I took them out to the driving range today, and they just ran around and played in the bunker and played with golf balls, and that was it while I was chipping around. But it was something for us to do for about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's cool. That's a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, I remember taking my kids to the driving range when they were little, and that quickly became a no-go. It was just – it was so brutal. It was like herding cats to try to get them into the position to actually swing a golf club. But I think they could probably do it now.
Oh, well, that's where I'm getting that, too. That's where I'm like, oh, play in this bunker and just stay and play in the sand. And it's a lot of raking. You're used to raking just one little area where you stepped in, where you hit your ball. Now when they're playing the bunker, I'm raking the whole freaking thing.
Absolutely. You got to take down their sand castles and whatever else they dug into and tried to bury each other in the bunker.
All right. I got a hockey question for you guys, or I want you guys' opinion.
Sure.
The Carlson trade to San Jose. How do you think that plays out? Like, as good as a player as Carlson is, and as good as a player as Burns is, aren't they both righties?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to play out that San Jose is going to be a very different team. And
are they both? I think they're both the same shot. Are they not?
I can check that. I think you are correct. I'm thinking that. Burns.
Let me tell you in just a minute.
I'm just trying to think because I remember watching him score a goal. He is a right shot. Yeah, because he takes it. I'm pretty sure.
Well, they're not going to be on the same line together, so it shouldn't be an issue.
No, but I think it's going to. We think San Jose.
Well, here's where I'm getting at. One's going to be a one pairing. One's going to be a different pairing.
Right.
When it comes to the power play.
Oh. Well, right now it looks like, right in the power play, right. Yeah, it could be an issue.
The only thing I'm thinking of is you just have Jumbo Joe set on one side and he just threads the needle all day. He's got so many threats, so many options with Pavelski and whoever else is on that other power play, right?
Couture and
– You have
Couture will be on the first power play with him, right? And the second power play, I mean, it's no slouch either. I mean, you got – Kane and you got Vlasic.
That was the only thing that I thought of. Because when he got traded, I was like, oh, man, I wonder if Burns is the same hand. And I looked it up and I thought they were.
They are. They are both right-handed. They are.
But then I was thinking, all right, you have two guys that produced 70 points a year. Can they sustain that together? Even if they both get 50 points, it's still a ton of points, but they're both. One, there's an ego thing. You know, they're both. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Sure.
So I want to see what your guys' thoughts are. My only thing was, what about the power play? You put Burns in the second unit. You put Carlson in the second unit. Then they're like, I don't belong in the second unit. You put them in the first unit, and then you have two pretty dynamic players. Playing the point on the first unit who are used to quarterback in the first unit. Now they're sharing quarterbacking duties, shooting duties. I'm just interested to see how that plays out. I know when you put really good players together, like you watch the Olympics, guys adjust just because they want to win.
Yep.
And right. I know that's what Carlson wants to do. I know that's what Burns wants to do. They have Jumbo Joe there who can pass a puck through a haystack and not move a piece of hay. So, I'm interested to see how that power play works out. I know it's going to click. I'm just interested to see how the coach puts those pieces.
Well, it is a great question because I mean, the power play is a big part of San Jose's game. Obviously they did well. I don't remember where they were in terms of rank in the NHL, but I remember they were up there.
They got to be up top. They were. They have too much firepower to not be top third.
Yeah, they do, and they've got a lot of guys who step up too. People that you kind of forget about, and then they just wreck the night for some other team, especially Logan Couture, who I think is an all-star player. And Pavelski is just deadly. He's so creative that, now having Carlson and Burns backing him up, I don't know. They're going to be good. This team is transformed with that trade.
But I agree with you there. I'm just, my question for you guys was, how does that affect the power play, right? The power, like I said, there's egos on every team, and the older you get, your ego drops at, you know, like, but they're not rookies, they're not young guys, so I think those egos get washed up. But I'm just saying, like, who becomes the man on the power play? Because they basically have, you put any of those five guys, and they on any other team solo, and they run a power play, right?
Right.
Power play runs through them.
Yeah.
So
San Jose had the 15th best power play last season.
Yeah.
So they got some
right room from middle of the pack.
In the middle of the pack, but I mean, I think it. Listen, you're right. It's one of those situations. I don't necessarily know if it's ego necessarily or what the issue is going to be, but they're going to have to figure a way out to get them both.
Okay, so this is my prediction. Yeah. Carlson's going to be on the right. Brent Burns will be on the left. Thornton, Pavelski, and Couture will mix it up in whatever direction that they see fit. But I believe that you're going to have Carlson on the right side with Burns, because Burns likes to sort of Alex Ovechkin the puck towards the net. So I think that's going to be the feeder.
Yeah. I see them playing kind of a five on a dice type of power play, where you have Joe's a lefty. You have him on the bottom playing his one side. So then he has Burns. He's got Burns across the box for a one timer. He's got Carlson right up the box for a one timer, and then I think Pavelski's a righty as well, or one of those. I want to say Pavelski, or I think Pavelski's a righty.
I'll tell
but
you.
But then you have a guy in the middle for a one timer. Like it's a deadly, deadly power play.
Oh yeah.
The end of last season, they were talking about how the Sharks were, you know, Thornton was going to be injured. You know, there was not going to be much going on with the team. They might want to blow the team up and start over again. And then, boom. I mean, this whole team has literally been resurrected with that one pick. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true.
Yeah, I agree with you. I remember them saying that. They're like, oh, I don't know if we'll bring Joe back.
Right.
And then they ended up signing Logan at the end of the season or early in the summer to a long-term deal.
Yeah, it's big. It's big news for them. This is going to be a great team to watch. It's really going to be fun. Yeah.
Well, but that's another team that has depth and players that you don't really know until you watch them, not night in and night out, but on a regular basis. Like, oh, like that Donskoy, like I'd never heard of him, and then I watched him a couple times the last couple of years, and I've always see him get involved in games, right? He's always a factor in games, and he was playing third, fourth line minutes. Now I think he's second, third line, so they got some good players there.
Oh, yeah, don't forget about the Evander Kane trade that resurrected the team as they went into the playoffs, too.
Yeah.
He did great.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, you're talking about the egos and situation. I mean, I wonder how it went down and how it still feels for Joe not to have the C and Pavelski to be the captain. I mean, that's got to be, you know, also kind of tough for a player to swallow that.
Well, the thing with Joe is he's such a – I've met him a handful of times, and a lot of the things I know of him are all secondhand. But he's a guy that's just like, he's happy-go-lucky. You know, he has the C, great. He doesn't have the C, great. He's still a leader, but he's a guy that keeps things loose. And for him to not have it, I don't think as much. It's not that impactful. Mm-hmm. But he's like a water off a duck's back type of guy. So you say something to him, he's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, that stuff doesn't affect him.
Yeah, I think he wants the cup. And another guy I have to bring up too on the Sharks that I'm just remembering who single-handedly destroyed the Ducks' hopes to get through is a guy named Timo Meier. And yeah. I don't know if you remember, if you watched this guy, but he had assists, he had goals, and he really demolished John Gibson and Miller. And they were just he beat the hell out of them, and they looked good, man. I think they've got a great season coming too. It's gonna be fun.
But like I said, they have a lot of guys that just fly under the radar that you wouldn't really know until you watched them a handful of times. So, and you know, like LA stocked up a little bit too. If Quick plays as he usually does, watch out for them as well, because they have some great players in that team. They have some good lines too.
Well, I want to see the guys that I thought were going to really show up last year show up, and that's Tyler Toffoli, Tanner Pearson, and this Kempe. Because if those guys play to their potential, lights out, man. That team is going to be deadly.
Yeah, but it's like I said, that's the last 5 years. I feel like the Central Division and the NHL is the hardest decision. It's from top to bottom. I still think it is this coming season, but the West, that Pacific division is slowly coming around to it, right?
Yep.
It's like, man, no disrespect to these two teams, but Arizona and Vancouver. Like, Arizona's got some pretty good players there, but they've never really kind of sustained anything. They'll play well in spurts, and then Vancouver's going through a rebuild. But they got some really good players in Vancouver as well. You have Edmonton with McDavid. Who knows what they can do there? That guy can take over a game every single time he's on the ice.
It is so true.
And Calgary's got a pretty good team, but last year, I don't know what happened last year, but they have a really good defensive core. And on paper, they have a really good team defensively on the back end on paper. And I feel like they got some pretty good forwards too. They don't have the depth that that San Jose and Vegas has, but there's a lot of good teams out there.
What's your prediction on Kovalchuk and the goals this year?
Ooh. He's gonna score probably 35 or more.
I mean, he's on the top line there. I mean, is
that,
you know,
well? That's a Kopitar big number.
He's playing with Kopitar.
Yeah,
and then he'll be their shooter on the power play, and his shot is immaculate.
Wow, you've got some big plans for that guy, because I thought he'd come in, and if he does 20, I'll be happy. But I mean, 35 would be amazing. That is a game changer for the Kings.
I can't see him scoring 20. I don't think he's too good to not. Even though he's, you know, even though he, what is he, 35? 34?
Well, they say he's 35. I don't believe any of the Russian years anymore. After somebody told me Ovechkin's 33.
The thing with him is he's a smart player. He's overly skilled, but his shot is still there. So as long as it's like Ovechkin, right? Ovechkin's got that shot on the power play. All right, you take away from him, he still gets his shot off. He still gets goals. He's still Ovechkin's a lot grittier than Kovalchuk, but he still scores with just his shot alone.
You don't think there's any type of lag or hangover from coming over from the KHL?
There will be a little bit, but just the fact that he's going to be on the power play, and same thing with their power play is you have, if you're defending that power play, you have to defend Doughty,
right?
You have to defend Kovalchuk, the one timer, and then you got to defend Kopitar down low, you know, passing it through the box or, you know, looking back door to whoever's playing in front. You have Carter, you have Toffoli, you have Brown, whoever's in front of that, right? They have a lot of options on that power play.
Well, I'm excited for the season to get started. I'd love to do a whole tour of the teams, but we gotta knock off here because it's gonna be past our bedtime soon. But but listen, you know, Jan, we're excited that you got this gig with the Golden Knights. We feel like we got a true insider now, so we're going to definitely check in with you throughout the season if that's cool with you.
I like I've told you, I appreciate the chatting with you guys. I have a fun time talking hockey with you guys, and you guys are a fun duo. So I
thanks.
Cool.
I enjoyed coming on this podcast.
Well, great. We love doing it. It's totally awesome. Fun. Thanks. And we're excited because I think don't you have a birthday this week?
Yeah, at the end of the week.
It's coming up, right?
Well, what do you guys refer? Is Sunday the start of a week or the end of a week?
I don't know, man. But I think you're getting older. That's all I'm saying. It's you know, I just hit one. I hit my 50th birthday this summer, so I'm feeling it. When I see it, I'm like, whoa.
I get the kids to keep me young. So
that's right.
Sunday, I'm turning 36.
Wow. Ugh,
I wish I was 36 again.
That's good. 36, man. Congrats. You made it. You made it through your NHL career, and you've got all your limbs still attached to your body, and
yes.
You can actually speak.
And your eyes intact, and everything's good.
So that's good. It's amazing.
I'm still breathing, still moving.
That's good. You didn't collapse a lung or anything but in your last season, so good for you.
Thank you.
Well, listen, Jan, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We'll keep you posted. We've got we got the season starting soon, so probably maybe around mid-November or early December, you know, we'd love to check in with you again and see how things are going from your job and then what's going on with the Golden Knights.
Like I said, you guys ask, and if I have the time, I'll be more than happy to jump on board. So
awesome.
All right. Well, congratulations on the retirement and the new gig, and it's going to be an awesome chapter, I think, for you in the in your continuing NHL involvement.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, Jan. Take care.
All right. Be well.
Bye. Your Vegas Golden Knights.
That was an amazing interview with. It's not an interview anymore. It's just, you know, chatting with Jan about what's going on in the NHL. It's totally cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the transition is going to be, as he was saying, watching the game as a player and what you're looking forward to as a scout. I mean, that's got to be
it's
different
fascinating.
Take on thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally different. I mean, he's going to have a whole different eye for the game now. I mean, you and I can only imagine that you're, you know, playing the game and then all of a sudden you got to flop over and now you're like trying to analyze what you're seeing on the ice with these players to decide whether or not, you know, the ownership's money needs to be spent on these people. It's a big, big responsibility.
The only thing I could compare it to probably would be, you know, being a player as like when we were a resident to then becoming an attending and then seeing and teaching other residents and kind of seeing it from a different perspective as well. I don't know. I mean, if that's something that's comparable or is it, you know...
Yeah, I mean, well, I watch the residents and the fellows all the time with their surgical skills, and you know, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. There's only like one or two that I've ever seen, you know, probably each two or three years that I'm like, you know what, this one's going to be a really great resident. I mean, he's going to be a really great surgeon just based on what I'm seeing here, and then they go on to actually do it. There are many that you see that don't have great hands, and you're just like, well, they'll be fine, they'll be average, but. It's very rare that you see somebody that, you know, can really rise up and deliver at that level. So it's you have to watch with a certain eye. It's
sure.
It's tricky. Well, this is great, man. I really appreciate you jumping on, Jason.
Thank you.
Next week, I think we're going to do a whole big compilation of our greatest moments of the first year of the Dr. Hockey podcast. Because guess what? This is our 1 year anniversary. Sean, what was the date that we started? It was like September 28th?
Yeah, the 28th.
So that September 28th is our anniversary, and we're going.
Well, I didn't actually come on until much later though, so I'm still under the year mark, I guess.
Well, you're like a fixture here now, man.
Thank you.
You can't get out. This is like, you know, this is like
I'm trapped.
Scarface or no, sorry, like The Godfather.
Right.
They keep pulling me back in. You know, exactly. You're in, man. But. You know, it's been great to do this podcast, and it's great to have the support of people like Jan Stastny and Sean Pronger and Doc Emmerich emailed me and said, when do I come on again? And, you know, I mean, there may be a Kevin Connolly sighting this week. I think he's supposed to come back the 28th is the the date for some reason that's ringing in my head. So we'll probably I'll be gone to Dubai next week, and we'll see. We'll see when he gets back if we can get him back in here. And you know, this is
nice.
We got a little. You know, we got our Dr. Hockey podcast crony. So it's very, very worthy.
Is it considered a zoo yet or not?
Oh, it's been a zoo. I mean, that's okay. For sure. I mean, you know, as soon as you showed up, that officially went to
wow,
zoo
okay.
status, man. That was it. Once we got you in there, we were set.
I'm still troubled by the whole thing that happened with Emerson Edom. He'd rather drink another player's sweat than teach me how to skate. I don't understand that.
Well, he was saying that, you know, because it was Ovechkin, that he's like, maybe it'll help with
it's
some goals.
I still have to talk. Next time we talk to him, I got to take that up with him. I still don't get it. Is it so bad to teach me how to skate?
Listen, I have a therapist for you. You should probably contact and get some help with these issues.
I'm totally taking this personally.
You should take it personally. I mean, I
thought I'd get over that.
I couldn't get over that either. But, you know, that says something about Ovechkin's sweat. That's all I could say. I am also cooking a very special episode just for you, Jason.
Uh-oh.
On the 16th. So you got to clear your schedule for the taping on the 16th, and you need to be in the Podcast One studio. We got it. We got to have you here. You cannot miss this one.
I come every time except for this one. I have a cold and I'm coughing up and everything else. You want me to bring germs? I'll bring germs.
No, I don't want TB. Whatever you got going over there, you have to take care of that on your
own. No caseous necrosis. Don't worry about it.
Good luck. But the 16th, you need to be in studio. This is a special episode for you. You're going to love it.
Okay, tell me.
No, I can't tell you yet. You know, I'll tell you the next time I see you. But let's just say the 80s movie theme, you better brush up.
I don't need to brush up. I'm good to go.
Okay. All right, then. Yeah, well, listen, let's head out then, man. This is the Dr. Hockey Podcast signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.